course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by your other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm not too shabby, just living the dream. The other day at work, I got emailed some very weird voice memos, so that was fun.
It was kind of weird because I noticed the same thing when I was editing the podcast last week. There was some something in the background. Sounded like a child song played backwards. Very creepy. We joke because today we are reviewing the movie Undertone, which is in theaters now, but we'll get to that in just a bit. Before we get there, Ike, did you watch anything else?
Oh boy, let's see. Did I watch anything else? Honestly, not really. I've been catching up on some other shows that I've been watching that are not horror related. I am still blazing through some more playthroughs of Resident Evil 9, still enjoying that. Otherwise, just trying to catch up with like my other shows, like I think I've told people before, but I like reality TV. So me and the wife watched maybe not horror, but very scary, The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. That was that's a fun show.
Yeah, that sounds like borderline horror.
It kind of is, honestly. Like I joke, but it's kind of terrifying.
Yes, as Dean Winchester once said, demons I get, people confuse me.
True.
So, let's see. I don't think I watched anything horror either. We're in the house at dinner time-ish and stuff. We're watching the series The 100. So, we've been watching that. Yeah, and I personally have been doing a rewatch of Star Trek, the original series. So, that's fun. Not really horror, but there's some, some sci-fi, tense, scary type things, I guess, for the time. But, yeah, otherwise I don't think there was anything else. I know we have a movie to watch for next week, but I'm also very excited because this Saturday, as of the release of this, there will be a showing of the 80s BMX movie Rad at the local theater for the 40th anniversary. So I get to go see that, and I'm very excited about that. Again, not horror related, but fun nonetheless. So, well, all right, then. That was all kind of lackluster. So it is what it is. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll have our news and birthdays, all that fun stuff. So stick around. Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, starting us off at the top here. 28 years later, The Bone Temple will be streaming on Netflix beginning March 31st. This is a good time. We both really like The Bone Temple. And now that it's on streaming, or will be on streaming very soon, we can officially watch all that the 28 years, or I guess I should say the 28 franchise has to offer. I do want to give this a rewatch. I always say it, but anytime I watch a movie, I'm always positive that I've missed something. So I always like to watch it again just to see what I missed. But good movie. Very excited to watch on streaming.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to it again. I guess it's a movie that it had a lot going on and a lot to it. So I think it definitely deserves a rewatch. But pretty excited. I think this will be a big movie for Netflix. It did well in theaters. I think, to me, one of the better in the franchise. And I think this will be a strong movie for Netflix.
Yeah, absolutely. So be a good time. So check that out on Netflix. Speaking of other horror movies on streaming, Sam Raimi's Send Help comes to video on demand on March 24th. This is another movie reviewed not too long ago, just a couple weeks ago. And definitely, it was a good movie. Generally positive reviews from us. Our only, I guess, issue with the movie is that it was not very horror. It was horror adjacent, which is not a bad thing. It's just when we watch horror movies, we are definitely expecting a certain, a certain kind of horror movie, and this just was not exactly what we were expecting, which is not a huge deal. But
No, it was a I don't know, had a little bit of all kinds of stuff, right? A little comedy, action, thriller type deal. I would not call it horror, but it was a fun movie. So I do recommend people still give it a watch. It's a fun watch.
absolutely. Can't beat some Sam Raimi, so very good. So now we're going to jump now to some more streaming news. Scream 7 is coming on to video on demand on March 31st. Again, we very recently watched this and reviewed this. Yeah, I mean, Scream 7 is great. It had its positives, it's had its negatives. Definitely we had some criticisms of what direction they went and where we wish they would have gone, but despite all of that, generally positive reviews. So definitely excited for that to come on to streaming. Might do a full rewatch of everything, but I don't know. We'll see how I feel.
Yeah. I mean, again, like I've said a million times, I like all the Scream movies to varying degrees. I don't hate any of them. This one had some great kills in it for sure. It has officially become the top grossing box office Scream movie. I believe when I looked up the weekend numbers, I believe it was holding strong still at four. So it's still doing well in the theaters. Which is great, but this thing, as movies like Scream, this thing's going to be huge streaming, both video on demand and when it hits one of the services, it'll be huge. I don't know if they put the numbers out there. I don't know what the how all that works. I don't, but it's this is going to be big. Everybody's going to want to watch it. Even if you've seen it, you're going to rewatch it and probably rewatch it again. And that the Scream movies are very rewatchable movies, so.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like you said, this will definitely do well on streaming. It did well in theaters, so it'll certainly do well on streaming. So good times. But all right, now on to some bad news before we get back up to the good news. Hulu has canceled plans for the Buffy the Vampire Slayer reboot. This is weird to me because I feel like Sarah Michelle Gellar has been pretty relevant lately. She's in the new Ready or Not movie coming out next week, which we'll talk about later. She was in the I Know She Did Last Summer reboot, and she's been in some other projects here and there that are still horror related. So it is weird to me that they would not pursue a reboot, especially since there are so many people from that franchise that are still relevant. But that's Hulu for you, starting to get as bad as Netflix these days.
Yeah, this whole story is very weird. It's apparently, if the story is correct, they did a pilot, then like whatever, the higher up watched it, had some criticisms, so they went back, recut some stuff, re-shot some stuff. I think they wanted it a little more adult edgy or something. I don't know, but anyway, they did that, came back, they still didn't like it, so they just decided to scrap it. Sarah Michelle Gellar, I believe, has said, and then somewhere. That it was essentially, she says it's essentially, it was one person. There's one person in that room who, whatever reason, hated the whole concept, hated the Buffy ideal, didn't care about the series, blah, 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 and they're the ones that killed it alone. So who knows? I mean, the truth's probably somewhere in between. I'm pretty sure Sarah Michelle Gellar found out about this. I don't know. Like, I think maybe as she's going to the Oscars or something. Right, she was going somewhere when she found this out. So that's got to be, discouraging. But I don't know. I had high hopes. I love Buffy. I thought they were doing, a good job of, transitioning this over. Sarah Michelle Gellar was going to be in it, in a limited role to kind of help transition over. And I don't know. I was excited. Was hoping it would come out. And one thing's like just happened. I was like, man, I want to see the pilot. I want to see what they saw, and see. Is it as bad as they're claiming? I don't know. Who knows? But as much as people are starved for content for their streaming services, and when you have a franchise with clout and value like Buffy, this seems very odd. I don't know.
Yeah, it definitely seems short-sighted, to say the least. Like you said, I mean, Hulu's dying for original content. This would have been big for them. And I mean, because you have your Netflix, here's the thing, Netflix is not dying for original content. They just refuse to they refuse to expand upon their original content. And so that's why, you had Stranger Things for, 11 seasons, but you didn't have the Santa Clarita Diet for any more than two seasons or whatever. And but then you have like people like Hulu who had a few original series, but it eventually kind of fell off once they kind of stopped, working on it. And then they have something like this, which I feel like would have made them a shit ton of money. So it is strange to me that they would drop it like that. But like you said, who are we to speak upon what the CEOs of these streaming companies do and don't do?
I don't know. It's odd. I mean,
It
I'm sure
is.
there's a lot of financial decisions involved in these things, right? They're not only are they wanting content, but they're wanting the most affordable content they can get, right? I don't know. I who knows? Again, maybe she's right. Maybe it was one person who believed. I don't know. It seems odd to me that as a whole, they would think the Buffy franchise didn't have some relevancy or, couldn't. So I don't know. I doubt that. I don't know how it works even, right? Does one guy have the power to pull the plug? I guess it depends on his position. But so I don't know. Whatever. I would love to sit in one of those rooms for one of that order else, but then again, I think it would just frustrate and give me a headache. So I don't know. Maybe it's best I just sit on this side of on in front of a microphone bitching about it after the fact.
That I was gonna say, I think a lot of that's kind of beyond us, but I don't know. I feel like there, just the comment, I feel like there are people who do have that power, like the Kevin Feiges of the
Yeah,
world,
I'm sure they do. Yeah.
but then that makes me question, like, who's in power over at Hulu doing this shit?
I'd be horrible in those roles because I'd be like, yeah, just put it out there. Go. There's somebody that'll watch that, right? I mean, I don't, I can watch things with a critical eye, but my critical eye is not very, it's not a negative thing, right? I try to find the positives and not the negatives. So I probably wouldn't be the right guy to approve. I mean, I couldn't make those hard decisions, right?
Not totally.
If I was that guy, man, Firefly'd still be running. Everybody would have canceled that thing and all kinds of other series. Everything would be running for 30 seasons. I'd never pull the plug on anything.
No, I 100% agree. Like you said, I would not be good to make those decisions because I generally look through at everything through a relatively positive lens. Even the worst of the worst, I'm like, I was still pretty decent. But no, for sure. If I had a say in it, definitely, your Fireflies, the Santa Clarita Diet would have been done differently. I would
Yeah,
have made the
a
Duffer Brothers like locked in a cave somewhere so they can figure
lot.
out the whole Stranger Things thing.
Yeah. Oh, well. It is what it is. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's this thing also where they can shop it somewhere else. Maybe it still has hope. Again, I don't know the details, but it looks like for now we're not getting Buffy the Vampire Slayer again. So we could all cry and just rewatch the original series.
True, true. But in some positive news, on March 15th at the Academy Awards, Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein won three Oscars, Sinners won four Oscars, and Weapons won one Oscars. So this was a pretty, I mean, pretty sweeping, I would say, action at the Oscars from horror.
Yeah,
I
it was
mean,
awesome.
it was, and I even heard some rumblings that Markiplier's Iron Lung is up for Oscars potentially in the next Oscar season, since it came out this year.
Yeah,
But
there's, I mean, obviously, Frankenstein took it was a lot in the design and costume. That makes sense. Sinners, I mean, Michael B. Jordan got best male actor. That unbelievable. I'm pretty sure Ryan Coogler got a what was it? He got screenplay. I think
yeah, I think
screenplay,
so.
which is that's a big thing, right? And Weapons won the best supporting actress, was for what I can't think of her name right now, but she won. And it's just, I mean, and then of course Sinners, I think won some sound stuff, soundtrack stuff, and I mean, which right? There's a lot of music involved in that movie, but
Right.
this is big. I mean, when you got, I mean, these three taking home eight Oscars, that's and
That's
again,
quite a big deal.
and I haven't looked at the complete list. I don't know if anything else peripherally won something else. I don't know, but it's getting some respect for horror, and it's finally about time people can look at these are not just great horror movies, they're just great movies, period. they deserve recognition. The door slowly seems to be creeping open a little bit for some mainstream, but who knows? I mean, I'm still waiting for the day that a horror movie takes home Best Picture, and that will be a good day. But I feel like we're getting close.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought
Actually,
Sinners was going to have it. I really thought Sinners deserved it, but I don't
that's
know.
what I was gonna say. I was very surprised that Sinners wasn't didn't have it, but it is what it is. Now I will say, with all the Oscar talk, some people I'd seen online kind of were starting to talk a little bit about a past movie that got snubbed for potential Oscar nominations, which was Hereditary, and a lot of people wanted Toni Collette to, win a Best Actress Oscar or Best Actress or whatever they call it. No, I definitely think that the door is opening. I think that movies like, as much as I hate to use the phrase, what people consider to be like elevated horror, so your Jordan Peele movies, Sinners and stuff like that, I feel like those have sort of opened the door, because obviously, we're not, we're not thinking that Terrifier is going to win an Academy Award.
No, unless it's an effects
But
or something, but
right, unless it's like an effects or practical effects or something like that, or like a Spirit Award, best effort award. But no, it's one of those things where I feel like for a long time, I mean, you have to think. I think one of the last quote unquote horror movies to win an Oscar would have been like Silence of the Lambs, and that
and that's
was
not
well
very
over 30
pure.
years ago.
Yeah, and that's not very pure horror. I mean, I mean, I guess it's as much horror as some of these. I don't know, it's a little more thriller, but I mean, it's still scary as shit. I get all that, but
Yeah, but it's not like a Sinners.
Sinners
It's
and
not
Weapons
like
are
a
definitely, I mean, right?
right.
But I don't know. This is great. It's exciting. I love that night. I don't watch the awards. I wasn't watching them, but I was kind of following online and seeing what these were doing. So if you take someone like me who couldn't give two shakes of a rat's ass about award shows, and here I am watching online and into it and curious, that's something. So go get them, whore.
Right. Hell yeah. So I don't know if you can hear that. The garbage truck's outside. It's especially loud today. Damn.
Mine came by early. Here comes by early.
Honestly, I feel like sometimes these trucks, man, they're either new or they're like super old. I think this one's like from like the 70s or something. But anyways, non-garbage truck related conversation. That does it for our news. So we had some ups and downs in there, but I feel like it ended on a positive note.
Have we ever had a good, well, I would say, have we ever had a good garbage based horror movies? But I guess, I mean, Toxic Avenger a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd say Toxic Avenger is probably the closest.
Or if it's ever, I'm sure there's been something out there, though, that we're not thinking of. It's, or maybe we haven't seen, based at a landfill or so, who knows? But anyway, yeah, okay. Sorry, transitioning. No more news.
No more news. But we have one birthday. We have March 21st, 1994. We have Jasmine Savoy Brown, who of course is known for her role in Scream 5 through 7, as well as Yellow Jackets, the television series on Paramount Plus. I mean, Jasmine Savoy Brown's probably one of my favorite modern actors.
Mine too.
I've seen her in a lot of stuff, weirdly enough, outside of Yellow Jackets and Scream. There's been some other non-horror things I've seen her in occasionally. She'll pop up randomly, like in a show, and I'll be like, "Oh, hey!" But yeah, I mean, she's great. I think that she has a lot of potential, and I would love to see her get her own horror movie one day, where she is in fact the lead. I also know that she has some acting and producing chops, or I'm sorry, producing and writing chops that she has dabbled in occasionally. So, love to see her make her own movie one day. But yeah, fantastic actress. And hopefully we'll be in Scream 8.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I wonder if she'll be an eight, you would think. I mean, how could they just drop it, especially with our sense that Gale Weathers is gonna be the center of this? And I mean, makes sense, right? That's where everything's going, and so therefore it makes sense that the twins would be there since they were working for her. So
Very true.
hopefully she's definitely been one of the highlights of the recent three movies. She really just she stands in that I don't know. I always, thought, I know it's he's her uncle, but she's the Randy-like character, right? With all the knowledge but I love how she plays it. And that one scene in, I think it's six, with her and Kirby, where they're drilling each other with the horror questions. That's a fun little scene.
It is. No, I do like her character. I was very concerned that it would be kind of like a pigeonholed character, but I feel like she has taken the trope of like a of a of a crap, what's her name? Randy Meeks. I'm trying to remember his name, damn. But the kind of the character of Randy Meeks obviously has sort of like a stereotypical role in the movie, which is just to provide, exposition. But I definitely feel like she's kind of expanded that role a little bit to be a little bit more story centric and a little bit more driven to the heart of the story. So I definitely like how they did that. That's one of the that's what to me is one of the more positive things with the modern trilogy. Obviously, I really hate that they did away with the Carpenter sisters over some dumb shit, and so I hate that. But we did at least get Jasmine Savoy Brown and Mason Gooding, who are a very a fantastic duo, for sure.
Yeah, while some may hate it, I think it's due time in eight for the twins to die. It's time for their big death scene. We need to kill a major couple characters, and those two would be very impactful, especially if somehow they're killed like at the same time. That would be one watches the other or something. I don't know. Something impactful like that. But I think they're due to
At least one of them.
yeah. I mean, they both. I mean. Both been close like every movie, but
I mean, I definitely thought Mason Gooding's character was gonna die in six because I mean he was stabbed like 15 times or something like that.
I know it.
I mean in five he got pretty messed up, but like six he got like that was a bit much. Seven wasn't too bad. I think it was more of a flesh wound, but I digress. But yes, happy birthday, Jasmine, and we will hopefully see you soon in Scream 8.
And thanks
And
for providing our obligatory Scream chat on this episode.
hell yeah.
Oh yeah, I guess a second. We already talked about Scream. Man, see, just can't escape Scream.
You cannot escape Scream. It is ever relevant and ever prevalent. But all right. Moving now to upcoming movie anniversaries. We got some good ones here. We got March 21st, 1986, Chopping Mall. This
Yeah.
is a good cheesy B movie from the 80s.
Definitely is.
I mean, it's literally like a killer robot roaming a shopping mall. I literally about said chopping mall. But he turns it into a chopping mall.
Potato, potato.
Potato, potato. But it's a good movie.
Got
I remember I watched this when at your suggestion.
Barbara Crampton, a mall, killer robots. What more do you need? That's some 80s 80s horror at its peak right there.
Yeah, it's weird. I feel like a lot of horror from the 70s and 80s took place in malls, like Chopping Mall, Dawn of the
I'm telling you, mall because a lots of stuff took place. You have no idea how prevalent the malls were. It was unreal. It was like the central hub of towns right there. Everybody went to the mall. They had concerts in damn malls and shit like
Dead.
that. It was just malls were just whatever. I don't know why at that. I don't know. I don't know what it was about that. Yeah, I don't know, but malls were big.
See, it's weird because when we both grew up in the same town. Obviously, you were born about what tw 20 years before I was. So you kind of had like the mall era, right? Because you were a teenager, what, in the late 80s, 90s. But I was a teenager in like the 2010s. So the malls were all but obsolete at that point, so it was weird because we would go to the mall, but like, I mean, they were all but obsolete at that
It's pretty
point.
dead. It was like just a couple anchor stores hanging on. But I mean, when I, yeah, hell, me growing up in that time, there was actually two malls, right?
I
There was
remember
two,
that.
yeah, two
You were
pretty,
you telling me
yeah,
that
two
I
pretty
wasn't
decent malls. And yeah, by the time you're a teenager, I mean, the one was pretty much mostly gone, and most of that land refurbished, and it was nice. Don't get me wrong, they did a nice job of it, but and the other mall was just dead, and now it's gone,
Yeah,
and
no,
completely different property built, or whatever you'll call it, building built on it now.
yeah, but both of them are. The one was, I mean, it's kind of offices and stuff like that too. It's weird.
Yeah.
But
Technically, some of the building's still there, right? Because some of that building for the old mall, they just repurposed the part of the building. But so technically, like structurally, I think it's, but you can't tell.
all right. But I remember well, and I say I remember, but it's weird because when I moved down here to, because obviously people know we live in Pensacola, the mall here is just popping.
Yeah,
I
it's
mean,
amazing.
it feels like old school because, like, I mean, the malls, I mean, it's got a lot of stuff in it, a lot of new stores
It
and stuff like
does.
that,
It's always busy, right? There's always people there, and
which is just
it's
so surprising to me because it's so weird that, like, the town we grew up in, we had those couple malls. They're dead now, even though the town is, I would say, I would dare to say that the town is pretty thriving. I mean, they got a lot of new stuff going on. But yeah, it's just so different here. You know, the mall is so big and you see all these like teenagers and kids walking around, and you're like, man, they're getting that experience.
yeah, might be. Yeah, it might be the so, because there's some colleges. Maybe that helps, get that younger. I don't know. It's nice. I mean, again, it's yeah, got a lot of great stores there too. It's like it's not like it's just hanging on with weird stores. It's got
Like legit
lots,
stores.
yeah, lots of very prominent stores there. So,
And they have a kava. Have you ever had kava?
I don't think I have.
It's like a Mediterranean Chipotle. It's
Yeah,
pretty nice. But
yeah.
anyway.
Only thing the mall's missing is Barbara Crampton and the killer robot.
That's right. Either that or some zombies.
That's right. Boy, yeah,
But
just a couple bites over that thing. That would, the outbreak
oh
would go
yeah.
crazy there.
That if you yeah you could put patient zero in that mall, that'd be ground zero for the next for the next apocalypse.
Hell yeah. I'm grabbing some Cabo on the table, just watching the fun unfold there.
Good time. That's funny.
All
But
that off
all
a
right,
chopping mall. Woo-hoo.
all that of a chopping mall. It's weird. Yeah, we get on tangents, but it makes a good conversation.
Right.
But all right, here's our obligatory one of our other obligatory topics that we seem to talk about pretty often. But we have March 22nd of 1985, Friday the 13th, A New Beginning. This is when it is not Jason; it's like a random guy, and this is
Yeah.
when what's the guy's name? Not Billy. Hell,
Tommy?
Tommy. Yeah, he's in like the halfway house or the
Yeah.
whatever it's called.
Yeah. It's a neat idea. They took a swing. It's not bad, but it's different. And they were trying to go with a different angle, and I don't know what happened at the time that made them decide, no, let's kind of shift back. And it's okay. It's a fun enough movie. Again, like Scream, I enjoy all the Friday the 13th to varying degrees. I don't hate any of them. And again, big year for Friday the 13th as we're getting Crystal Lake. There's some first images that were released officially out
Yeah.
there. Pretty cool stuff. So it's coming. The rumor is December. But nothing official yet. But obviously, Friday the 13th is getting a resurgence. And with this recent, whatever that latest weird ass merger buyout with Paramount buying whatever it was. I don't know. It's hard to keep track of that shit. If I'm reading right, apparently now the two of the conflicting companies are now under the same umbrella for Friday the
Yeah,
13th.
that's what
So
I
it
heard.
really, really clears up a lot of the path for a new movie. So I think that's getting worked on hard and heavy in pre-production and planning. So going to be some good times for us Friday the 13th fans coming up.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad to hear it.
Me
Yeah,
too.
I don't want to dwell on too much, but man, we talk about it a lot, but the whole rights issue with the Friday 13th, they honestly should make a documentary about it because some of the stuff that was, I mean, it got crazy. I mean, people were claiming this, that, and the other, but yeah, I'd watch a documentary about that.
It'd probably have to be completely unofficial because they could probably never get all the parties involved just to agree to do it. Because I just say we put some of them in a room and just let them hash it out and film that. Do it like at a con, just as a panel. Just like sit them at tables facing each other and just have a moderator. And all he's got to do is say, "Okay, so who owns the rights to Friday the 13th?" And just let it go. And as they break it down, of this guy introduced the hockey mask, and this guy introduced that, and well, but this guy did the first. I mean, I get it, but if everybody could just shut up, calm down, and work together, I think y'all could make some money. And I think you could probably they could probably all weasel their way in for a slice of it. But again, I don't know. It's complicated. I understand. In the back when the first one was made, this shit, no one thought about this stuff. The rights and franchises and licensing now would become that huge. And, so all of it's probably right, right? Someone wrote it and created it. Someone else probably suggested at some point, hey, maybe he should wear a hockey mask. And, somebody suggested this, and that's what happened. And, there's lots of people who didn't get any kind of official credit and whatever and didn't think much about it at the time. But now that it's this huge money-making conglomerate machine or whatever, I'm sure the guy who said, hey, look, he should wear a hockey mask says, I think I really should get something since everywhere I look, there's the hockey mask I suggested.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get it on one hand, but as a fan, it does get frustrating.
Well, and the crazy thing about it too is that Friday the 13th as a franchise is probably like a $1 billion franchise at this point.
Oh, I'm
I
sure.
mean, I would venture to guess between all 20 movies and all the merchandising and all this other stuff, I would venture to guess that they are at this point probably close to, if not over, $1 billion. If somebody somewhere just sat down and said, listen, I get that we're all having these issues. I get that we all have different opinions on how this should go or that should go or who owns what. Let's just all get a slice of this pie and let's just make another movie. You know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Yeah,
Because at the end of
just
the day,
cut everybody in and
exactly, they're gonna watch it. People are gonna watch the movie, even if it's dog shit. People are gonna watch the fucking movie.
yeah, or someone just step up and just say, okay, you say you came up with this part. Okay, we're not gonna argue with you. What chunk of money can just make this go away?
Yeah.
What can we pay you to just say, okay, I've been compensated. I give up my claim, I'm good, we're even. And just don't buy them out or something. Just, I don't know. Again, I don't know what's happening. Apparently, though, a lot of this is clearing up, it looks like. Things are happening. We're getting a TV show. Apparently, we're getting movies. The merchandise is still rocking and rolling. They've come together to, whatever, this Jason Universe ideal to pull it all together under an umbrella. So they seem to have the focus in the plan. So that's good. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'll see another movie before I die. Who knows? Hopefully we get to see Crystal Lake because I know they've released images. I'm not going to hold my breath until that comes out though, because it scares me.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say, I won't hold my breath on anything until I see it on paper. But all right, I think that's enough Friday the 13th talk. Again, another tangent. It happens.
Of course, very much.
But
We
now
need
this
to
next one, go
keep
ahead.
it. We need to keep a tally, the tangent tally. I think we're on three now. Scream, shopping malls, and Friday the 13th.
Absolutely. But all right, let's see here. Let's see if we can't get off on a tangent on this one. I kind of mentioned actually this one, weirdly enough. March 22nd, 2019, we have Us, Jordan Peele's second movie. Fantastic movie. Love Jordan Peele, love this movie. I think that my favorite of all of his movies is still Get Out. Now,
Yeah.
Us is really good, and obviously I like
Nope.
what's the Nope. That's a
Yep.
good one. But no, I think for sure that Us is a top contender. And this definitely kind of falls into that category of woke or elevated horror. Some people don't like these movies, and I don't get it, but to each their own. But for sure, stuff like this is, I think, how horror movies get Oscar nominations.
It is, and these are the movies that some of the movies that kind of started that recent, direction of them getting some recognition. So, again, maybe it's not everybody's cup of tea, but I anything within horror, even if it's not my favorite or not whatever, my particular style of movie that I rewatch or whatever it is, I can appreciate it for the value and for what it brings to the genre, right? Because there's so many different flavors. That's a good thing. I love these movies, but if somebody doesn't, that's cool, but I hope they can at least appreciate what it has done for the genre.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if I heard correctly, he's coming out with another movie of some sort,
Yeah,
or he's working on something.
that's the talk. There's not a lot of information, which is typical with him.
Yeah, right. But very good. So yeah, be a good time to rewatch all the Jordan Peele movies. But we're gonna move now to our last one here, which I've never seen, but we've talked about before. Mark 24, 1989, 976, Evil. Never seen this one. So Dave, you're gonna have to fill us in a little bit here.
It's a fun movie. It's there's this is kind of in the day when everybody had, like a 900 number, this and that, right? This one was one of those, right? You call in and it was a charge or whatever, but apparently if you called the number, you got possessed and did things under the control of this person running the number. I think Robert Englund, I think, directed this. And so that's kind of, it's kind of got that going for it too. So it's not the best movie in the world, but it is definitely fun. And definitely one of those 80s movies that everybody should give a watch to at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. But all right, that does it for our anniversary. So we're going to jump now to upcoming releases. So let's see here. We have two, one on streaming, one in theaters. It's always a good time. Get a little bit of both. For our in theater release, we have Ready or Not 2, Here I Come. Releases in theaters March 20th and is described as after surviving one deadly game, Grace and her sister Faith must now outrun four rival families competing for a powerful throne. Winner takes all. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. It is ironic that the main character was Grace and her sister was Faith.
Yeah, I noticed that
Definitely
too.
a trend going there. But no, I love the first Ready or Not movie. Samara Weaving is great in that movie. So I think it'll be great to see this one. Then we have Catherine Newton, who was a Supernatural alum. So
Been
that'll
lots
be
of good
cool to
stuff.
see. Oh yeah.
Yeah,
I think she
so.
was in a Marvel movie too, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was an Ant-Man or Ant-Man and Wasp or some of those or whatever. Was played Ant-Man's daughter or whatever when she was older.
Gotcha.
So I don't think in the first Ant-Man she was in it, but in I think the others maybe. I can't remember.
Quantumania.
Yeah, I think I've only seen those movies once, but it's hard. I can't remember which is which, but at some point she does get a suit or something.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I think it was Quantumania because they were facing Kang,
Yeah.
who then we never saw again because the guy decided to beat somebody, I guess. So
Yeah,
that's
he's
fun.
struggling. Not much having much of a career right now.
That's rough.
Yeah, I'm
Allegedly
looking.
beating somebody, I should
That's
say.
right. Yeah. Not proven in court yet, I don't guess. I don't know.
I don't I'm not really following it. Like, what is his name? Like
Yeah.
Jonathan Jordan Masters, Jonathan
Majors,
Masters,
Jonathan
Majors.
Majors.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think his maybe that's all tied up in the Friday the 13th legal stuff too. I don't know. I mean it's wide reaching. Yeah, I'm ready. I love this movie again. It's probably not the purest horror type movie, but the kills are unbelievable typically in these movies. And it is it does I mean right it is a scary premise and so it fits. And the first one I loved, and I'm super excited for the second one. Monica's super excited. She loved the first one. She's really excited to see this one. And yeah, this is going to be fun. We'll talk about it next episode. I don't suspect groundbreaking stuff, but man, I suspect just a nice, good, fun, actiony, splattery, scary type little movie.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it'll be good. It'll be fun. So we will check that out and we'll catch back with everybody next week. But for now, we have one other coming release. It is on Screambox. We have the Daemon. I'm guessing when it's meant to be Daemon, Daemon, like Pokemon.
Sure.
But the Daemon is coming to Screambox on March 24th. And it is described as Tom flees his father's lakeside cottage after his suicide, where childhood memories and an ancient evil beneath the lake push him toward madness. His wife Kathy, her brother Mark, and his wife Jess try to save him. That's honestly, it's weird. We not so long ago reviewed that movie, where they were at like a barn of some sort. I can't remember what it was called, but similar premise.
Blood Barn or something like that, wasn't
Yeah, Blood Barn. And this honestly, this immediately when I was reading, I was like, kind of sounds like Blood Barn. But yeah, I mean, I'll watch it. I'm always down for anything on screen box and shutter. Never a problem for me. One of my big things is I love supporting these streaming services just for the sole fact that without them, we would not get movies like this. So.
And you're right. This, I mean, I'm not knocking the movie because I don't know yet, right? And I've not watched it. But yeah, there's so many of these movies that, like, by the descriptions, it sounds the same, right? It sounds so similar. And again, it is, right? The description's pretty vague. It doesn't give a lot of specifics. So I'm not saying it is. And obviously, with that title, the Daemon or whatever, that I'm sure that's got something to do with whatever the ancient evil is. That's, I'm assuming, the name of it or whatever. But it's like, I guess my big complaint is I think somebody needs to work on the descriptions just a touch more. Give it just a
Yeah.
little flavor to set you apart somehow. I don't know how, but I'll still watch it again, right? It's on screen box, so yeah, it's there. I subscribe, so yeah, I'll watch it.
There you go. But all right, I think that does it. That is all of our news, upcoming birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. We will take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll have our official review of Undertone. Stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Okay, it is review time. I do believe our tangent tally is complete. I don't think we'll get off on too many more tangents here. We are reviewing the movie Undertone, written and directed by Ian Toussaint, starring Nina Curry, Adam DeMarco, Michelle Duquette, and others. Released on March 13th in theaters, and it grossed $9,339,663 domestically on the opening weekend, which was good for number three. So not bad. This movie, that's one of those movies that snuck up on me. I hadn't really heard a whole lot about it, then saw the trailer before something and thought, ooh, that looks really, really good. We won't go too deep with the review here because you can't say a lot without giving stuff away
Yeah.
for the movie. So you have to be careful, right? But obviously the premise is these two friends, one of which is the primary character, do a podcast about weird supernaturally whatever stuff. The one, the co-host guy who is on there, gets some audio files, does has a little research or trying to do research, and this is the premise of them exploring these audio files within their podcast, while she's struggling with some real life things, and shit happens, right? Shit begins to happen. There, things are coming together. Things are, affecting both. But it all starts within the audio files, and the key, and whatever, and the pure evil of the movie is essentially audio.
Yeah.
And it's very cool. It works. It is very, very creepy, and it is spooky. And I will have to say, I like the approach. I like the ideal, that it's auditory. That's, every time something would start to come up when they're playing these clips, and the guy would be like, the co-host, "Oh, did you hear that?" And they would replay. I would find myself honing in a little, trying to hear it, just
Right.
listening. That's the equivalent of bringing you to the edge of your seat, right? And pulling you in just to kind of knock you back with something. And I thought the movie was scary. I thought it was absolutely fun. I thought it got really crazy. It Oddly to me, it was whatever, a minute and 20 something, I believe, or a minute 30, right around a minute 30, give or take, I believe. And honestly, to me, that's usually the wheelhouse for me. This movie
Yeah.
felt a little short.
Yeah.
I really thought, man, you could have gone another 15 minutes with this, I think. But that it's okay, right? It's better to get in and out and not overstay the welcome. I love the movie. I thought it was great. I thought this was kind of just, again, it was a different approach, kind of like The Quiet Place was a different approach, right? Where The Quiet Place did more the lack of sound. This does where you have to really pay attention to the sound. That's the part you're keying on. The sound could scare you, or the sound sometimes was the distractor to get you to focus on something for the scare or whatever, you know. But I thought it was really done. I thought the acting was great. I thought everything about it, right? The look, the lighting, the filming, the sound. I've said this before. Simple songs make the best creepy songs. If someone we've I don't remember what movies we've talked about in the past where someone is just it's usually like someone's whistling, like a simple little melody of some sort, and it sounds so creepy. With this one, there's a very prominent place for kids' songs, which they point out very, and again, this is a little bit of a spoiler, but not much. It's just a little kids' songs, if you listen to them, and kids' stories for that part matter, they're a little scarier than what you think they'd be, right? They're not all these sweet little lullabies. Listen to the words sometimes and some of the backgrounds on them. But their use of those in this to me added to the spookiness. And I like that. And again, it's all about the auditory, the audio. So love the movie. Thought it was fun. This is one I'll definitely, I can't wait to give it a rewatch when it hits streaming or something else. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. So what'd you think?
Yeah, and I well, let me first start by saying that this is probably one of the scarier movies that I've seen recently.
Yeah, me too.
This legitimately like had me shook. Like after I was done watching the theater, I like was like, okay, like this was actually terrifying. There were times where Kayla literally had her face covered. That like normally she's not like that, but like this one like had her like okay, like scared, like covering her face, you know. I mean, it was. I mean, this is wow. I'll let me just say that first, that I was extremely pleasantly surprised by just the general content of the movie and the quality and how scary it was. A lot of times when we watch these horror movies, you might get a good scare or two in there, or it might just be like a good story. But this one was a extremely good story, had an extremely relevant message about like. Just a lot of different like societal factors, but also it was legitimately scary. Like there were times where I had no idea what was going to happen. I was like, okay, am I about to get the shit scared out of me, or is this just like a fake out? Because they had a lot of those. There were a lot of moments where like, you know, like you said, it would kind of bring you in, and you'd have to like, you know, kind of really focus, like really, you know, lock in to kind of be like, okay, what's going on here? But then it would be nothing. And then there'd be other times where it would be a lot more than nothing. And like you said, it all surrounds the idea of listening to audio and listening for audio cues and stuff like that. So it's a very interesting dynamic because a lot of movies, like you said, either just use like music or, you know, sounds and things like that. But this one, it really hones in on the idea of like hidden messages and just the general idea that, you know, hey, things are a little, may not always be as they seem.
Yeah, and it layered it so well, right? Because it's like it would begin by they were just hearing something in the background, and then there would be this, and then there would be the song. It was like it just kept building. And the one thing with this, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
You're welcome.
you didn't know where the scare was going to come from because there was multiple things going on with this, right? There was the audio stuff when they were doing the podcast. There was things happening where she kept looking over her shoulder because she thought she would hear something in her home, and you're like, what the hell is that? What's going on there? There was something going on in her personal life there in the home. I don't know if they say it in the, so I'm not going to mention it specifically, right? But she's got something happening in her home that person in her personal life that also you're expecting something to happen there. So you have all these avenues where you're just like, you're waiting for the scare from all of them, but you don't know which one's going to come when. And, it was very tense and had a lot of anticipation. And it's like then they build you up, and they knew when to pull the trigger on things to let you down and build you back up again. And
Yeah.
very, very well done.
No, absolutely. And I was going to say that too is, you kind of have this expectation of like what's going to happen going into the movie, right? But then it really, to me, it twisted it all up because like I had a general idea of how the movie was going to, what it was going to be about. But like you said, it was just so much deeper than that. There were so many irons in the fire that you were just waiting for all of them to burn them. And I think the big thing too, and you kind of mentioned this, was sort of the buildup. You know what I mean? I wouldn't quite say this is a slow burn because it's really not. There's something happening in this movie pretty much 24/7. There's not a slow point in the movie,
No,
but I would definitely.
they got
Go
several
ahead.
fires going.
Exactly. There's all these different background stories that keep you enthralled while they're building up to like the big scare or whatever. So yeah, for sure though, like I was genuinely surprised by this movie. Like I left that theater, and this is the first time in a while I left there, and I was like, oh wow. Like I think really the last time a movie like really really scared me, like genuinely scared me, was like Skinamarink. Like and that's been a little while. Like there's been some movies here and there that have been like a little scary, but like genuine, like, okay, wow, I was really uneased by that. This is the first movie since like Skinamarink that really gave me that moment of like pause and unease where I'm like, okay, what the fuck just happened? And I'm not gonna say it, but there's a phrase that they repeat, right? They talk about playing audios forward, backward. There's a phrase that keeps getting repeated, and there's a part where it just repeats that one phrase. Like I legitimately was like flinching every time I said it. I was like, okay, can we stop?
And
But
this was
it's good.
definitely one of those, after watching, one of my immediate thoughts as I was trying to process was I thought I'm gonna be damn surprised if it's not a top five movie for us this year.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because to me it's definitely there now, and I don't know if there'll be enough to knock it out. I don't know. I mean, it could be. I'm not saying never, because again, I don't know that I would have thought this movie would have been at that level for me. Would have been quite the, I'm not saying I didn't think it would be good or whatever. I didn't know I would come out and say, oh yeah, that's top five. We'll be talking about that in the review, like this. So, and again, this is, and I know I say this about a lot, this is definitely one that I think people should get out there and see it in a theater. It's also going to be, it's just, I think this one will also be great when it hits, video on demand and digital for at home. This is, I already can't wait to watch it again. I'm very much looking
Yeah,
forward to it. So,
absolutely. I need to watch it again. I'm sure I missed something. This is definitely one of those movies where
yeah, you had to. You couldn't help it.
there's probably stuff going on in the background that I didn't even notice. So for sure, I got to rewatch this as soon as it's on streaming.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, again, whatever. I'm not gonna miss, I love the movie, thought it was super fun. I'm not worrying, it was very original. I'm not gonna say it's groundbreaking or whatever, but that, I don't know. There's enough other stuff for me. This to me is an absolute pretty clear 4 out of 5. It's not perfect. It's, whatever, but I'm very selective about that. But yeah, I can't give it just a middle of the ground, a 3 or 3.5. This is just, to me, it was so much fun, so good, so enjoyable that it's absolutely got to be a 4 out of 5 screams for me. Ike, what are you rating it?
Yeah, I like you said, I'm not gonna mince words. It was great, legitimately scared me, had me taking literal moments of pause where I'm like, okay, what's going on? So straight 4 out of 5 for me. It is a when I first left the theater, I said 4.5 out of 5. But after thinking about it, I'm like, okay, I don't know if it was quite a 4.5. Like I can make that argument, but I think it's a solid 4 out of 5 for 100% certainty.
Yeah. So there you have it. The consensus 4 out of 5 for Undertone. Go see it. Still in theaters. It'll probably be hitting video on demand shortly. I think this will be a quick one to get turned around. So, like we mentioned earlier, next episode, we are reviewing Ready or Not 2, Here I Come. So make sure you give the first one a rewatch and then go see this in theaters so that you can follow along with our review next episode. As always, we'd like to say thank you to the wives and all the listeners and followers. Make sure you subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much all the platforms. Just search for Listen to the Screams or Listen to Screams. And also, obviously, make sure you subscribe to us on whatever podcast platform you prefer, whatever when you're listening to us, as new episodes do release every Thursday. So make sure you go ahead and subscribe, hit that auto download. So when you wake up on Thursday or at some point in that day when you're in the car, it's there ready and waiting for you to listen to our tangents. There you go. Listen to all of our tangents. They're typically horror related, so don't worry. So before we close and get out of here, Ike, anything else you want to add?
Oh, man. Really, I'd say just go out there and support Undertone. That was a good one. I'd love to see. I definitely think they could do a follow-up to that in some way. I'm not sure how, but I feel like they could. I feel like I would love to see, the story from the other perspective, because, like you said, there's two podcasters, the main character who we mostly follow, and then there's the secondary character who lives in London, actually. Yeah. So I'd love to see it from his perspective. Not necessarily the whole thing over again, but maybe what happens after, because certainly some shit happened to him too. I'm positive. So, but no, yeah, go out there and support Undertone. Otherwise, I'm trying to think if anything else crazy is going to happen here soon, other than of course Ready or Not Two, Here I Come. But I'm excited for that one too. I think that'll be really good. I think Samara Weaving and Catherine Newton will work really well together.
Yep, I do too. Should be a good time and lots of fun. Plus, Sarah Michelle Gellar's in it. Man, who else? I can't even remember, but there's a ton of people in it.
The guy from the families.
Yeah, from the all in the families. There's lots of people. It should be a really, really good time. So that is next episode. But until then, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, listen closely, and have many pleasant nightmares.